There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile on this Friday. A couple hours of live local talk. Glad to have you all along. Reminder, phone line, text line. You probably have questions this hour you want to get answered because Dr. Brendy Murphy, our guest, you can use that text line at 343-0106. Same thing for the phone number, same digits. And a reminder, too. The brand new FM Talk 106.5 app waiting for you at Google Play or the App Store. It's free. Just type in FM TALK 1065. No point between the 6 and 5. You'll see our logo. Download that. And amongst the streaming and the access to our 55 hours a week of podcast, our latest traffic and weather information on there, our show schedules, all that. You can also use the TalkBack feature. There's a mic icon on the bottom of the app. You hit that, leave us a message, it sends it to us, and we get it played back on the air. So check it out, new FM Talk 106.5 app. All right, so the numbers, I guess I'm going to, and I'll bounce this off of Dr. Randy Murphy in a second, but there's some positive news here. More vaccinations happening in the state rose to more than 10,000 on most days for the first time since back in May. The state of Alabama delivering 16,639 doses as of July 30th compared to 7,144 on June 30th. So that's statewide numbers. Let's talk about it here at home and in Mobile County. Our guest epidemiologist, Dr. Randy Murphy, Director of Disease for Surveillance with the Mobile County Health Department, and a person that has put a lot of time in this week doing the number one job and the number two job of giving those great press conferences. You can check out on their Facebook page. Dr. Murphy, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Sean.
And you are at the COVID-21 clinic, right?
That's right. I'm in what used to be the clothing stock room, I suppose, of the old Forever 21 building or store and the shops at Bel Air. We leased this space a month or two ago and had been working towards, you know, building it out with real furniture and clinic supplies, and we just decided we couldn't wait. So a week ago today, we decided to open it. On Wednesday, we did with rental furniture and supplies and vaccine, and here we are. Yeah, right. We had a great day yesterday. We were open from 9 to 7 yesterday, and we tested 248 people and vaccinated about 62.
Great numbers. And do you give it, I mean, as we look at this, more people, obviously, look at the numbers around the state are with this Delta variant are going and who had maybe been vaccine hesitant before are getting the vaccine. So obviously that's a big part of it. But do you think it's location as well? I mean, you and I kind of talked about this before, and we're going to get into the numbers and the health questions here. But just on the human nature side, something that's got a lot of parking and it's somewhere I know and it's easy, it's a better chance for me to go do something like that. Do you think that factors into the success of the new location?
Absolutely. I think you are absolutely right. I mean, it's much more centralized. People sometimes dread going downtown or to Midtown. As you said, they know the mall. Most people do. They probably don't know our other clinics, so they might be a little bit more reluctant. Also, since we have extended hours here until 7 o'clock, we usually see a pretty good, increase in flow of people after the traditional end of the workday around 5. And, we're seeing people come in their, uniforms, lots of kids coming in with their parents. So we really think this clinic is going to be a big success for us, and most importantly, really good for our community. That's what we're trying to do, is just to continue to provide services to try to help our community, get through this COVID outbreak.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot to be said for that, and hopefully other groups around the state are looking at that as well, because in conversations I've had with politicians, it kind of, some of it came off of what McClendon had said when he was saying, well, we got to review the failings of the, why we're at the lowest vaccine level, and they were looking at all these other things, and I said, for messaging, I think it was done from y'all's side here on Mobile County Health Department, or ADPH, it was done very well. You just... Some people, and I think a lot of people, and I can include myself in this, it's a convenience thing. I know that sounds, to somebody who does this, who's in the trenches every day, you're like, man, this is so important. But it really is. If it's close and easy to do and extended hours, I think you get a better response.
Yeah, and what we're trying to do is, when people come in for testing, they go to the left side of the clinic. And if they test negative, we try to say, hey, all you got to do is walk a few steps over to the right side of the clinic and get a vaccine right now. And trying to maybe, have that conversation, encourage them. They came in to get tested for some reason, right? Many of them because they've been told, they may have been exposed. So that's really a good time to say, hey, you tested negative today. You dodged a bullet. But protect yourself from that next bullet by getting vaccinated. And trying to just walk them over and sort of do that. I think, I'm not sure if, all three of our clinics, we provide all three vaccine products and rapid testing. And I'm not sure there are too many other clinics in town that do, do the same thing, have all products and free testing while you wait. So we're maybe unique in that. I'm not sure, but we're trying to get as many people vaccinated as we can while they're here for testing.
Yeah, you're already answering questions. Number one, about the different vaccines. So all three are there. Side note here, and I you're going to say I'm starting trouble, but I'm asking this just honestly. So is it just with the J&J, the convenience of one shot? Because the J&J is, am I correct, less effective by quite a bit, it says, than Moderna or Pfizer?
Yeah, so the numbers don't look good for J&J immediately after the first shot, just a couple of days, right? But several weeks after your J&J shot, it gets upwards of high 80, 86, 87, maybe okay. Getting up toward 90% protective for hospitalizations and death. That's still really, really good. So while, immediately you don't have, it's maybe 60%, I think 67% maybe has been quoted before, but several weeks after, after that 2-week period when you're fully vaccinated, it's much better. I do think that the convenience of one and done is definitely the attraction for Janssen & Janssen. We were using that to vaccinate people on board the vessels that are coming in and out of the Port of Mobile. We've not been able to continue with that right now because we're so stretched thin, but people who maybe are traveling or who maybe don't want to schedule, have to schedule a second dose, it's definitely a convenience thing for people who are getting J&J.
All right. I want to get into the numbers, but we've got so many texts coming in here, and there's one theme that several of them have, so I'm going to kind of ask a question for, take one of the texts, but they reflected in several others. Matt says, Dr. Murphy, some people believe that masks are not effective because they have read that COVID, wait, is that Matt or that's, okay, here it is. Yeah. So Dr. Murphy, I want to thank you for coming on Sean's show. It's always good to hear from you and your colleagues. Can you please confirm or dispel the notion that the N95 mask is or is not effective against the new COVID variant? Something with regards to the micron barrier of transmission through the mask. That's Matt. But several people asking a similar question.
Okay, that is hogwash. I got one word for that myth, and that is hogwash. So there's nothing about the Delta variant that's going to make it it is more highly infectious, but the mask coverings are going to help. So, an N95 is usually something that you wear to protect yourself from others. That's why people in healthcare settings wear them, right, because mm-hmm. they're around sick people all day. The 2-ply covering, right, that you wear, that's you trying to protect everyone else. So thank you for everyone who who is continuing to wear a mask out there to protect, you know, other people around the community. But there's absolutely no truth behind the fact that Delta can, you know, escape through an N95 better than some other COVID variants.
Yeah, I see. I've seen you in some of the pressers this week wearing two masks.
Right. So when I'm at the, well, that's because I've come from the clinic.
Okay.
So our resources are stretched thin, and we're trying to help as many people as we can. So I've actually, you know, performed COVID testing this week because I've, you know, trained to do that. So I've jumped in to help. So when I'm swabbing patients, yes, I wear an N95, and then I wear a face covering over it, a cloth covering over it, just mainly to try to protect the integrity of my N95.
I got
you.
So
that's why, because, I mean, when I'm not swabbing patients, I just wear my two-ply cloth mask. But when I'm actually at the clinic, I wear an extra barrier of protection because, again, about 1 in 3 people, 1 in 4 people are testing positive. So there's a lot of COVID in this clinic.
Yeah. And one of the things that, not to get off too much on this, but the N95 or other masks, you know, people will comment that, look, it's 1 micron and the mask can't stop one. But in my understanding, this is not about stopping individual virus. It's spit, right? It's
right.
It travels on spit. We're really keeping the spit from getting to other people.
Right. My term for spit is respiratory droplets.
Okay. See, because that's why you're educated nice. Yes, respiratory droplets. Yes.
Yeah. So it's those, the respiratory droplets that naturally come out of your mouth while you're talking or singing or shouting. They come out even, they get dispelled further distances when you're exercising or singing or shouting. But yeah. Wearing a mask, we're trying to keep those respiratory droplets from getting out into the air where they can be inhaled by someone else.
All right. Let's talk about the numbers, the good and the bad. You know, I know you've had a lot of bad numbers here over the last couple of weeks. Let's talk about those and then maybe what the positive story of the week is, too.
Okay. You want me to tell it or you want to share, Sean?
No, I want you to. I want you to lay. I mean, okay. I've been watching you this week, but if people have not heard your pressers, kind of walk us through the number of cases, you know, what we're looking at here in Mobile County.
Yeah. So earlier this week, I said that we, you know, went over the 50,000 mark of the cumulative number of COVID cases since we began keeping track in March of 2020. And we're already at almost 52,000 cases. So it's just, the rate of acceleration, like we are breaking records every day. Earlier this week, on the 3rd of August, I think that was Tuesday, we had the highest number of cases reported on any given day, on any day since we began in March of 22, and that number was 677, which was like nearly sent me in hysterics. I was so worried about it. Yesterday's number is 848.
Wow.
So another just alarming increase in the number of cases. And I don't expect that we are even close to even leveling off. So the count out there is just going up every day. The trend is going up, and it is super alarming. I expect what might happen is if we do see a leveling off, it will be only because we don't have the capacity to test as many people as we need to.
You're meaning the cases would be out there, but it just, you wouldn't have the tests. It wouldn't be.
Right. Right. That's what I'm a little concerned about that. Right now, we're coping okay, but we're hearing that there are long lines all over town to get tested. And we are begging people not to go to emergency departments to get tested. Only go to an emergency department if you need emergency medical attention. Go to another clinic. Come to us if you want to get tested and think you have no other option than the emergency department. We have options. Okay, so for the number died, the cumulative number is 885.
Okay.
Yesterday, 8 new deaths reported. The day before that, it was 4. The day before that, it was 9. So we are seeing the number of deaths go up. It's not rising at the same slope, so it's not increasing nearly as steeply as the case count is, and that is, you know, we're attributing that to older populations have really good vaccine coverage. I mean, we're seeing younger people hospitalized, younger people dying. I just got a social media thing that was released today about a 28-year-old man, father of two, who died at one of our local hospitals yesterday, which is just from complications of COVID. So it is true that most young people will have, you know, a mild illness and will not have complications that lead to death, but it does happen. And when it does, it's just so unfortunate because it could be avoided by taking a vaccine. Then the hospitalizations are going up. We're seeing about 40 people newly hospitalized each day. And yesterday, the cumulative number of people in the hospital was 338. That was down slightly from the day before. The record day before yesterday was 350. 350 people in the hospital in Mobile County right now with COVID. I mean, it just blows my mind. And about 5 to 7% of those are children. So, you know,
and you said that in the presser. What children under, is that under 18 or what age cell?
Under 18, but about 5% of them, so maybe 15 kids or so are too young to be vaccinated.
So under
right?
age 11.
So they're under the age of 12. Okay. And again, you know, 90%, more than 90% of cases and hospitalizations and deaths, it's all unvaccinated people, Sean. It just blows my mind.
And in that, you said 90%. I know that we had talked about that number last time of unvaccinated people. And so there is, there are some that have been vaccinated that come in that are hospitalized. Are they older or younger? Is there any kind of tell there?
Yeah, so generally older, underlying medical conditions, immunocompromising conditions that might have contributed to them not mounting a good, strong COVID immune response after getting vaccinated. So, yeah, thanks for clarifying that. Because, yeah, it is of the vaccinated people who are in the hospital or who die, generally older, more, you know, have underlying medical conditions that would make it more difficult for them to survive a COVID infection.
All right. Coming back, more of our conversation with Dr. Rendy Murphy from the Mobile County Health Department. Got a bunch of questions in here as well. We'll get those asked. And I've got some questions about vaccines, Delta variant, future variants on this as well. We'll do that when we return.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, have just a couple minutes here before the news, and then we'll be back for the discussion. Dr. Rendy Murphy, our guest, epidemiologist and director at the Mobile County Health Department in the surveillance. You don't have to look hard for surveillance right now for COVID, do you?
That's right. We don't have to look very far at all. That's right.
Now, a lot of text coming in here. Leo asked, Sean, how many of these cases were false positive?
Yeah, you know, the tests that we have are really very accurate. And that has not changed. The COVID variant is still, you know, can be detected with the tests that we have. The interesting thing, and it's maybe a little bit technical, but when you have really high rates of transmission in the community, the accuracy of the test only gets better. So the what we call the positive predictive value, right, or it only goes up when you have 33% of people testing having COVID. So we're not concerned about false positives with the tests that we have and the very high rate of community transmission. Now, the antigen test, the rapid antigen test that we are using, that the health department is using, the same goes for that, is that when you have such high community transmission, the accuracy just goes up. But if we test someone with a rapid who has symptoms of COVID, has been exposed to someone with COVID, but tests negative, then we will reflex to a more accurate test and do a PCR on them. And the same goes if they are asymptomatic and have not been around anyone for COVID, but they test positive. We will also confirm that with a follow-up test.
Right. This question here, I have read that individuals with an autoimmune disease may not develop COVID antibodies after being vaccinated.
That's true, and that's true of any vaccine. So people who have immunocompromising conditions, it's, you know, when they take a vaccine, their immune system may not respond in the same way that a healthy person does. So it is expected that people with weakened immune system may not get the same level of protection as a healthy individual. And this is what is leading to some people, like Pfizer CEO and president, to call for a potential booster shot for people that fit that category. Now, the FDA has not approved a third or booster shot yet. It will take some time for that to happen. But right now, what is authorized are the two shots of Moderna and or Pfizer and the one shot of Johnson & Johnson.
Right. Dr. Murphy, I am inundated with, I think, some pretty good questions here, but we're up against the news break. Can you hold on for a couple minutes for us?
Sure.
Okay. Let's do that because there's some of these. I probably won't even get to my questions. That's fine. Y'all got some very good questions here on the text line at 343-0106. We'll get these asked when we get back right after the news right here on Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5.
Is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Get right back to it, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5, and continuing to get your questions answered with our guest, epidemiologist Dr. Randy Murphy, and Director of Disease Surveillance with the Mobile County Health Department, and the voice in those pressers you can check out on their Facebook page, too, for those daily updates. Great stuff. And we continue with your questions for Dr. Murphy. All right. Well, first one here. Jason, what about wild-caught immunity? You and I talked about that last time, about wild-caught immunity, and is that protecting folks?
Yeah. You know, you will have some level of protection for 90 days after you get infected. So we give you 90 days, and we know that in those 3 months, it's highly unlikely you would get COVID a second time. That's why we say don't get tested again for 90 days. And we say for 90 days, you don't have to stay home if you're exposed again. But once 91 days comes around, we know very little about the level of immunity, the duration of immunity. We don't know how natural immunity protects against variants. So if you had, you know, COVID last year, mm-hmm. that might have been the parent strain, and then you got COVID again when you had the Alpha variant. Now we have Delta, like all bets are off. There is just, we know nothing about how or if you are protected. So it's better just to get vaccinated.
Is there a short version, the one that I could understand, of why the protection's better from the vaccine than the wild variant?
Well, the reason is that we control the dose, right? When you catch COVID out and about, you don't know how much virus you got in you. You don't know, you know, what your antibody levels are. With a clinical trial, right, we control the dose. We measure the participant. We know the affinity of your immune response for the vaccine, so we know how strongly it protects you. We know what the levels of protection are in your body, and we know how long those levels of protection stay high.
Okay.
We know none of that with just natural infection.
Okay, because it's varied. Okay, that's the best explanation I've heard. Erlene says to ask Dr. Murphy to break down the positive cases and deaths in Mobile County by race of people.
That is a really good question, and I don't know if I can answer that with extreme accuracy right now because I'm sitting in the stockroom of an old clothing store at the mall with very little internet access. So I'd rather save that for another day, Sean, or maybe I can, the information is on our dashboard at mchdcares.com.
There you go. And we can put that up on our Facebook page as well, y'all, so you can go there and link through. Because that dashboard is, tell you one, the stat that got me on that dashboard of when y'all broke down the zip codes, I thought that was very interesting as well for Mobile County, showing like a heat map.
Right. So, yeah, we show cases and vaccines. And for the cases, you can look at cases, hospitalizations, and deaths by age group and by race. So you should be able to see it there.
All right. Are there any contradictions? Contraindications. Thank you. Some contraindications. Are there any contraindications for the vaccine versus children with severe allergies? Asked a texter.
Yeah. So there really are no contraindications unless you have had, if you're allergic to a component of the vaccine. And or if you have had some, really severe anaphylaxis event following a vaccine. But other than that, allergies, asthma, conditions, pregnancy, none of that would cause you to defer vaccination. So for children that have allergies, even if they have severe food allergies, we would still recommend vaccination. What we'll do is we'll ask you to hang around a little bit longer so that we can monitor you to make sure that you're going to be okay. So we'll keep an eye on you for about 30 minutes instead of just 15.
All right. Danny asked, does the test tell if it's a Delta variant? Can you tell that from the test?
Some tests can absolutely tell you what variant you have. The rapid tests do not. So the tests that we do, the tests that you can get at some of the urgent cares around town, they cannot tell you if you have a variant. It requires what we call a PCR test that's done by a highly complex molecular laboratory. Now, I can tell you, just because of what's circulating, is that people right now in Mobile have Delta. Almost to the complete exclusion of any other variant right now. We've been doing... working with a local laboratory to do sequencing, whole genomic sequencing on PCR positive COVID patients. And we've been doing that about 3 or 4 months now. And we've seen every week the proportion of Delta get higher and higher and the proportion of Alpha and any other variant get tiny, tiny, tiny. So if you have COVID right now, it's Delta.
All right, Alan texts, younger, sicker, quicker. Please just get the vaccine. Younger casualties of the virus are leaving young dependents orphaned, and it's a tragedy. You mentioned a 28-year-old.
Yeah, that's right. And I misspoke. It was someone who's 26.
26, wow.
Who died, yeah. And, I'm looking at the numbers for the people that have been hospitalized in the last 14 days. 10 of them were under the age of 12. About 3 more between 12 and 17, 10 people between 18 and 24. So, if you just look at the people, let's say less than 30, it's 8, 12, 15, about 20%. I mean, it's unvaccinated young people. So it's happening. We didn't see that a lot last year, but this year with Delta and so many young people not being vaccinated, we're seeing that shift. Older people, yes, are still getting hospitalized, but we're definitely seeing it happen in young people too.
Jay asked a question we talked about a little bit, but he's a little more specific here. He said, what is the current hospital status around Mobile, specifically diversion? And can you explain to listeners what that means if you get a chance?
Sure. So diversion is what happens when a hospital has a service or a part of their hospital that is so overwhelmed that they can't bring in more patients. So most commonly you will see emergency departments go on diversion where they have so many people in their emergency department and they may be have people in the hallways and maybe ambulances that are waiting to offload people, they will go on diversion and say, ambulances, do not bring any more people to us. Take them to another hospital. And that's really what we're afraid of, that all of the mobile hospitals are going to end up going on diversion, and there'll be no place for people to be transported, at least no place in Mobile. So, you know, we've been seeing about 40 new admissions in hospitals every day. We hear lots of stories about people going into the emergency department, getting some hydration and sent immediately home, and they still feel like they, you know, are sick enough to die, and which is just unfortunate because there are just no beds for a lot of people. So, you know, we have about 340 people in the hospital yesterday with COVID-19. So there are very few ICU beds available. There are very few ED beds, probably none. So it is a critical time for our hospitals right now because they are seeing, you know, 50% more people with COVID than they saw at the peak of what we went through in the winter. In the winter, I think the most we saw in the hospital on any given day was 260-ish. And again, for the past 4 days, we've had more than 300 people in the hospital every day.
So by far eclipsing anything of the Alpha variant or whatever we were dealing with last year.
Oh, anything that we've seen since we got in the COVID-19 pandemic business in March of 2020. That goes, you know, cases are out of control and record. Deaths are, you know, doing okay, but they're rising. Hospitalizations are record highs and rising. And then the percent positive tests are record highs and rising. Now, to counter that, you know, we are seeing a slight increase in the number of people who are getting vaccine. That's good news, but we've got a long way to go before we get to, you know, from 35-37% where we sit now to trying to get to 70%, which might help us slow this outbreak. That is why we're begging everyone to re-implement those prevention measures that we know work. Last year we didn't have a vaccine, right? And what we had to use was masks, distancing, staying at home, washing your hands, right? So we know those things help, so we've got to reinstitute that, and we're asking businesses and churches and schools and everything to implement those measures that we did last year.
Because that's the thing that people will say. They'll say, listen, I did my part and I got the vaccine. Now you're putting me back in a mask.
It's very sad. It is very sad. I mean, I hear from so many parents who are maybe, you know, older, maybe in their 60s or 70s, grandparents who say, I am so angry at my children for not getting vaccinated. I did my part. I have underlying medical condition, and my children are not getting vaccinated, and they are not supporting vaccine for my grandchildren, and they are so angry about it. And so am I, frankly.
Trey asks, how long are you contagious after you test positive? This is the quarantine question, right?
Yeah. So when you test positive, you have to stay home for 10 days. Overwhelmingly, the data support that you will, you know, you're not able to infect anyone else after 10 days.
Okay. So 10 days after the, okay. Because so 14 is,
you know, that's last, for people who are exposed.
Okay. 10, okay.
Right. It's 10 if you have COVID. It's 14 if you get exposed to COVID.
That sounds backwards to folks, though, right?
I mean, know, doesn't yeah. it? Doesn't it? It sounds backwards. So it goes back to the data and the science that when you are infected, you stop shedding virus and you're not infectious to others by 10 days. But when you get exposed, it takes on average between 2 and 14 days for you to have enough virus in your body for you to develop symptoms. So that's why it's longer for if you're exposed, you have to be at home for 14 days.
All right. My gosh. Let me get just two more here.
Okay.
This one here says, hey, y'all, I had a question that maybe you could talk about. My wife just got out of the hospital after 9 days. We both had COVID, and she was 8.5 months pregnant. When we took her a second time to the ER, they did a C-section, and she ended up there 9 days, and I was able to take her baby home 3 days after staying in the hospital with him. I work as a bartender, and I'm worried about going back to work now. I don't know where I got COVID. I don't blame my job, but I now worry that if I go back, I could bring it home to our baby. Is it likely that I may bring it home after having it? Can I get it again that soon? I know there are no definitive answers, but any advice is appreciated. I mean, that's a concerned dad.
Right. Well, first, let me say how lucky you are to have a living wife and a living child, because I have heard this same story about a 37-year-old woman who died with COVID at 36 weeks. So the answer is, if you had COVID, you will have some level of protection for 90 days. But what you should do is get vaccinated. Get your vaccine so that you are doing everything you can to protect your wife and your newborn child. We don't have a vaccine for the child. So the best you can do is to create a barrier of vaccine immunity around that child. And you and your wife should both get vaccinated as soon as you can.
All right. And then as we... wrap it up. There's so many we're going to have to hold over for next time. Let's see. There's one question about, it was sticking out here, about the Pfizer versus Moderna. They were asking about fatalities surrounding that. Or is there any stat on that? They're trying to, I think, gauge one against the other.
Right. Yeah, we get a lot of this sometimes. So there really are no clear patterns. We see people hospitalized and we see people die who have had Moderna, Pfizer, and Johnson & Johnson. So there really aren't any clear patterns right now that we could give out with any certainty. So it doesn't look like there's any difference.
All right. Remind folks once again, COVID-21. It used to be, I know a lot of y'all probably used to shop there when it was Forever 21. Like me, I couldn't get enough of it. But now COVID-21, where exactly do folks find you? What are the hours?
Yeah, so we're at the mall from 9 to 7, Monday through Friday, at our downtown clinic at 251 North Bayou Street. We're there Monday through Friday, 9 to 3:30. And then at our New Bern Health Center at 248 Cox Street, we are also there Monday through Friday, 9 to 3:30. And again, the Forever 21, if you don't know, it's on what we call the back side of the mall. So it's on the side of the mall where the post office is, if you've been to that post office. Mm-hmm. But it's basically between Dillard's and the mall entrance and H&M.
We don't have to have it.
See us. We got some sandwich boards out.
Okay. And so you can find it there. And we don't have to have an appointment. Somebody's asking that.
Nope. No appointment necessary. Just come in. We have lots of staff. There's usually not a lot of waiting, particularly for vaccine. Sometimes you may have to wait, 10 minutes or so to get tested. But we're getting them through as quickly as we can.
Dr. Murphy, we appreciate your time today. I know you're so very, very busy. That's not even a cliche throwaway. I mean, you're crazy busy. Thank you for making time for us, and we'll talk to you next week, hopefully.
All right. Sounds good, Sean. Be safe.
All right. You too. There is Dr. Randy Murphy, Mobile County Health Department. Got tons more texts. I'll try to work through some of these as we come back right here on Midday Mobile.
Listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. Midday Mobile on this Friday. Time to check in with my buddy Larry Kirby at LCM Motor Cars. Hey, Larry.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm good. And let's talk about inventory. It's been a couple days, and that means a lot could have changed, even more vehicles.
Yes, we've gotten some in daily, so we got a great selection. You know, we got a great, really big selection of cars. I mean, we got a lot of low mileage vehicles still under factory warranty. A lot of them are. And then we got a SUV selection like we've had never before. So we're doing good with that. And then we just need some trucks.
Okay. Now that's part of this too, that you are a place, because I mean, I've done both. Bought a vehicle from you. My parents sold a vehicle to you. So you're taking them in local, great local trades too.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I know we got a 2013 Z71 crew cab, low mileage, coming in Monday or Tuesday. So that's a rare item to find.
Tell folks how to find you so they can be ready to check out that truck and all the other inventory.
Come see us at Highway 90 and Plantation Road, online at lcmmotorcars.com. Like us on Facebook or just call us at 375-0068.
Thanks, Larry.
Thanks.
Larry Kirby checking in from LCM Motor Cars. All right, we may have time for one call. And May have to do see if during the break I can juggle interviews and move one back to later on in the next hour here. Let's see. I'll take George right now in Mobile. George, you got about 2 minutes.
Hey, I'll try to make it quick. This may be a rhetorical question, but I know you cited convenience when you were talking to her earlier mm-hmm. in the interview. Are we dealing with a public that is not aware that you can get this vaccine at Publix, Walgreens, CVS? I mean, they're like just about on every other corner.
Yeah, you know, I think
all
it's
around the city.
Yeah, I think it's where.
I mean, do people think that you can only get it at hospitals or clinics?
I don't know.
Like, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, the convenience thing is even in those places. I think when you see a line too, you know, I think the places that set the appointments have worked better to me because you're not, you know, I'm line phobic. You know, I don't like stand in line. I think there's some of that. I mean, we live in a culture where we get stuff delivered to our front door or food handed through a window, right?
Well, I mean, that might have changed in the last week, you know, because of this uptick. And I know she cited, you know, a lot more people are getting the vaccine this week. But, you know, really, there haven't been many lines in a lot of these places for a while now.
I know people getting the test.
You pretty much walk in and get it.
Yeah, I don't know about the vaccine, but people getting the test that I've talked to in the last 10 days or so. Because I told them, because, you know, back at the beginning of July, when my family got sick, I tested every day, you know, to be able to come in here to the office because I did not get sick. And it was easy to set those appointments for the drive-through testing. And so I told my friends and they said, why can't I get tested? I said, well, do what I did, the Walgreens thing. They're like, dude, there's no slots open. And it was easy for me, you know, July 7th or 8th. And now they're like, I can't get a slot.
Well, I will tell you something real quick, and I know you got to go. But my daughter actually works in one of these stores. And she had a woman approach her the other night, and she said, you know, I need this prescription or whatever. Will it react? I'm positive.
What?
And she said, what do you mean you're positive? And she said, I tested positive for COVID.
And she was
will
in there?
Prescription mess interact that
oh
with
my
that?
Gosh. And she walked
and
in
she
there
said,
to where your daughter's
working. Why are you in the store?
Yeah, I would have said a lot more. She said it better than I would have.
Yeah.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Got to run. News is next, and then we'll come back. We'll kind of work this out because we've got Mobile Comedy Festival to talk about as well. All straight ahead.